Welcome to another exciting episode of Just Tamika. Today, we're talking to Kong Vang, an influencer, a creator, and a man of passion, also a dear friend of mine. So welcome, Kong. Happy to have you today.
Hey, thank you for having me. That's too kind of you. I don't think I would call myself an influencer and any of those labels, but I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
I think it's because you're humble, but you're a content creator. You're someone who is very passionate about innovation and creation. And I think that I want to follow your lead on what we talk about today. Mm-hmm. But if I had to title today's discussion, I think it probably would center more around the importance of representation. Mm-hmm. And just those who came before, those who opened the door, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, prior to, you know, us, you know, hitting the recording button, I had the opportunity to show Tamika a video that I was featured in, because one of my favorite, they probably don't even know that they serve as like even like a mentor to myself silently. I don't know if you guys heard of the YouTube channel called Wongfu Productions. They recently reached their 20th year anniversary, and they did, one of their co-founders went on Instagram and said, hey, we're reaching our 20th year. If you're a fan, submit like a 3-minute video. We don't know what we're gonna put in yet, but how has, you know, Wongfu Productions helped you, impact you? What was your first video? What was your favorite, and etc. And I said, oh my gosh, I am a huge fan. I'm gonna submit, and worst thing they can say is no, right? So yeah. I got featured. Unfortunately, I only made the hello and the Wongfu for life, the beginning, the end. I didn't get a lot of my footage of me saying how it impacted me, but you know, I'm glad that I even got in. My wife was telling me that, hey, you know, being put in is better than nothing. I had a friend that even told me, hey, you know that scientifically they say that people actually remember the first
and the last,
Or something. And I was like, oh my gosh. Cause like when they saw it, they're like, oh my gosh, Kong is insta-famous. And I didn't even look at it like that. I looked at it more like, oh my gosh, I was helped recognize.
What an honor, yeah.
With one of your guys' huge milestones.
Before we go too far, can you tell a little bit more about your background? Because I'm serious when I say that I really think that you're amazing at what you do, but I also recognize that not everybody knows you like I do. So, and I know you're not somebody who pats yourself on the back, not somebody who toots your own horn, but just so that people recognize kind of what your, where your passions lie, can you talk a little bit more about who you are, what your, you know, what your passion is, what your goals are, and then a little bit more about how this, why this was such an inspiration.
Yeah, so, I am a first generation, my gosh, if you want to dig deep, like, in Western culture, I'm a first generation Asian American, but if you want to get an A+ in class, I'm a first generation Hmong American.
Okay.
Came with a refugee family during the Vietnam War to the States. And growing up, I don't recall the time when I really got into the arts, right? But I knew that when I was growing up, I saw that I really loved art. I loved creating and I loved customizing things to my own likings.
Okay.
So like I would play video games that have a lot of customization like factors to it. Like for instance, if you guys play like The Sims, mm-hmm. you have a lot of control, creative control, right? I think that's what you call it. I loved drawing. I just loved the idea of art and creating and stuff. And back then, you know, we couldn't afford like, you know, like a computer to kind of put like graphic design and stuff to work. And I know that there was a lot of beta and it was still in the works with Adobe and stuff back in the day. So unfortunately, we probably couldn't afford those. But you know, back then, my parents, because they were, you know, first generation immigrants, when they came to the States, they wanted us to pursue in STEM, like science,
technology,
tech, or engineering, math, mathematics, just to kind of be on the safe side, so we don't.
I think a lot of parents still do that.
Yeah, just so like we don't fall short, and so like we're covered, so we have like, you know, I don't know if they call it the three elements, but the roof over your head, your bills are paid, and food on the table.
So you can survive, yeah.
Exactly, so you can survive. So when I was growing up, I couldn't really, like, I didn't have the privilege to chase, like, I guess what they call the American dream, like, just like everyone. So I knew that I loved something, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, but I just loved it, so I kept doing it. I remember... in art class, every art class that the art teacher showed up during elementary school, there was a time where she brought like a Pepsi can, and she wanted us to draw it from whatever angle of the desk we're sitting on. And I drew it, and I think that's where I got like my debut.
Okay.
They're like, oh my gosh, this is so good. We're gonna frame it. There's like this like program where we frame like kids' artwork at the Vintage Fair Mall, and it was framed there.
Very nice. Wow.
And I actually got a certificate. I don't even know where it's at, but and I still remember. And it was like a 7-Up cup. And so every time, like from then, like kids would be like, oh my gosh, we should see what Kong's creating, what Kong's making, right? Gift. And I did not know that it was even considered a gift that I had until people started to come and ask, hey, can I see what you're doing, what you're making and stuff. So obviously my parents told me back to that, that I shouldn't go into that because I wasn't gonna make money and stuff. And I was young, you know, I didn't know you know, the idea of like chasing a passion or what that was. You know, all I knew was I had to, you know, go to school, and I had to one day
make
a living, right?
Yeah.
And get married, have children, have a house and a car, and that's what you think, right? And then I think you know, going through college, I declared as an art major, and I even looked into a few like vocational art schools. My parents said no, and then I had a, you know, change my major, and that's where I'm at today. I work with people, I with direct service and stuff, and I had the chance to trickle in my way and find elements to kind of remind me that, hey, you know, like if you don't chase your dreams, you know, like, you know what I mean, it can kind of open up like doorways and opportunities.
Yeah. So what kind of helped you figure out that you like digital arts? I know you like all sorts of art, but you really, I've seen you shine,
yeah,
in the realm of digital arts. I haven't actually, didn't know you drew. I'd love to see. Mm-hmm. Do you still draw?
I still draw, but I'm probably like rusty.
Okay.
I personally don't, it's fun, and I personally don't probably do it now, just because it gets my hands really dirty, because I'm big on like pencil black and white.
Okay.
I'm not really into colors, and there's a lot of equipment involved, and the thing about what I like more about, like, you know, virtual technology drawing or graphic design is like it's not a lot of preparation, it's more like mind preparation, and
you just let your imagination,
yeah,
shine.
And like your capacity, your imagination, and that's how you kind of let it shine. But to kind of answer your question, I think like what got me into that was the mending of like me just loving technology. You know, growing up, like I loved playing video games. You know, like now thinking about it, I think it truly was my dad and my parents, they couldn't afford us like a gaming console.
Mm-hmm.
So then the only thing they can get us was a computer, because the computer, you can use it for school,
yeah,
and you can use it for, I don't know,
some of
those essential things,
games,
right?
Yeah.
So then I was like, hey, you know, like, do they have some of these games that I want to play on the console, but for computer? And some of them happened to, like, I used to play like Sims, like NBA Live, and it wasn't the best graphics. It didn't run the best, like a game console, but you'd be surprised nowadays, like some like computer gaming is like the thing, you know
what I mean?
Yeah,
I heard about that.
So anyways, that's like a whole different topic, but I think that's what kind of got me into it. And then just being exposed to that motor like repetition of seeing color, seeing aesthetics of gaming elements, or and then the internet came. I used to like get AOL,
yes,
plug it up the phone.
Oh my gosh, yes. We would turn up, plug it up, and by the time the page would load, I had time to go downstairs, get a glass of water, come back up, and sit back down, and it would finally be just about done.
Exactly. And then that's when YouTube was still like not big
yet. A baby, yeah.
And during that time, around that time, and you know, growing into high school and all that stuff, that's when I discovered the YouTube channel that I kind of mentioned again called Wongfu Productions.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it all kind of started. And I had to like learn about them through some of their podcasts and conversations, how they got started. And it was so inspiring, and it kind of
set the wheels.
And I've been on those kind of wheels too, and there's a sense of relatability, and it's truly a catalyst of who I am because of what they've done.
So can you share a bit, and I feel like I know some of this, but for the sake of our audience, can you share a little bit why the Wongfu channel resonates hard? I know that you and I talk a lot about representation. Talk to me about what it was like to see people who looked like you doing things that you wanted to do, and how kind of...
So it was interesting because, like, I don't know if you know Kev Jumba. So Kev Jumba and Niga Higa.
I've heard this.
So Niga Higa was the guy that made those videos, like how to be a ninja, how to be a nerd.
Okay, yeah, that guy.
He was that Asian guy.
Okay.
How to be a gangster, right? And those were shot so like during the time, it was so great because it was like in 420. I don't know. I don't even know my pixels now. 720, 420. It was before 1080, right?
Yeah.
And it was before how YouTube looks nowadays. And those were videos that linked me into Wongfu because he was doing some work with them, and that's how I kind of like got on my radar, because there was a community that we're creating. But anyways, I think I resonate towards them because they were, it started with the three groups of guys. And those guys, they just did something because they loved it. They just created videos, like lip sync videos.
They were just having fun.
Yeah, they were just having fun. And they went to, UC San Diego. That's where they met. And one of them, they all had a passion. They came together. They just did this. They graduated. And I don't like to put them on a spot like this because I'm sure, but they kind of talk about it. When they graduated, they didn't even say, hey, we're gonna go look for jobs that pertain to our, you know, degrees, but because we have a fan base, for some reason that we're doing this and it's creating like some ripple or movement, let's move to LA, which is like a couple hours from San Diego, and let's live together, and let's like roommate together, and let's create stuff, keep creating, and see where this takes us.
That really reminds me of a conversation I had earlier today, the meeting I had. One of the things that the gentleman said was that, you know, he's reading this book. I don't remember the name of it, but he said in the book, it talked about how when you commit, then Providence opens doors. And this thing that he's in, he said, was just like something that was good for people, and it seemed like really, really nice, and it would be nice to do. But when he thought about what he wanted from it, was that he wanted money, but not for himself, money to produce so that he could share it with others. He wanted to give them away. He wanted to not let finances be a barrier and to be able to help others. You need that resource, right? So you need to be able to. So he decided that he was going to commit. He was going to go all in. And he was saying pretty much what you're saying. Once he did that, then things begin to open, meetings begin to line up, funders begin to come. And it sounds like that might be what happened for the gentleman at, or I don't know if it's just gentlemen, for the people at Wong Fu as well.
Yeah.
Is that once they decided that this is what we're going to focus on, things begin to take off.
And it truly, a lot of their supporters were the Asian American people, because they were one of the, I'm going to use the word catalyst a lot, but they were like the catalyst that kind of were the, like the founding fathers of like putting like these faces, right?
Yeah.
Into like YouTube, which was a platform where it's kind of like, fast forward later, you know, they even talked about they got so, you know, big and known that they were invited into like Hollywood scripted rooms, and they were saying, hey, why are you using these faces? They're not gonna make money. But then, like, you know, a couple years down the line, people were, it's the opposite of that, right?
Yeah.
So what's amazing what they've done, and I think the true foundation and message was, because Hollywood wasn't doing it, they did it on this platform, and it created this this movement, and they created like merch and stuff to kind of help promote it. And then not just that, but they create diverse stories to, and what I mean by diverse is diverse genres to kind of help promote that, you know, Asian people can be funny, they can be romantic, yes. they can play in sci-fi roles, they can play in, you know, they can also be on the big screen, you know, and we have good looking people too. We have, and not just that, but directors that are creative, and like, we have people that are, if we get our hands on script, we can make it look and sound good.
Yeah. And I think too, it's so important to have representation, because when you're young and you have a burning passion and you want to do something, but nobody looks like you, that makes a difference. When you begin to see faces that look like yours, you begin to think, oh, I can do this too. Or you feel like there's room at the table for you. And I think that that's vastly important. I think that it's time. It really is time. I'm seeing more and more recognition. I'm seeing more and more. I'm loving the content that's pouring out right now. We have movies, we have TV shows, we have, like you said, it sounds like we've always had videos. But we have to remember to make room at the table for others. And that's something that I really like. I think just looking at the 20 years video that you shared with me, it was really powerful to see how these young people just did something that they loved, and it turned into, like you said, a community. It became a safe haven for others, a place where others could come and just kind of, you know, share in the light. I think of it, there's a saying that I'm probably gonna mess up, but it talks about how nothing is lost by sharing the light. So if you have a candle and I have one that's lit, I don't lose anything by lighting your candle. Light is something that can be shared. Yeah, it's not something that has to be coveted or held onto, right? It's a resource that we can all enjoy. Yeah. And I absolutely think that that's what these young people have done. Mm-hmm. They might not have done it intentionally, but I think they're recognizing the impact that they're making in the lives of people. How do you not continue to do that?
Yeah,
so, you know, I really hope that they continue to go far. And I'm looking for you to be
somewhere
on that path one day.
I mean, like, I hope that, you know, like, because I'm only one, like, scalp, right? So I think that, or only one voice, I think that, like, if I can do it in some effort that can inspire another person or inspire change, just kind of like how I think I've done here, I think, like, that's some momentum that, and potential already in its own way, right? Like just planting a seed, right? Just kind of like that one famous saying, like, don't ever underestimate the idea of planting a seed, because like it's very powerful.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of like, there's a lot of times where I wanted to share too is, and they shared it and I totally relate to them too, is they talked about how they didn't even go to film school. They didn't even, they don't have those credentials. They had to just truly just learn and experience and fall, fail, and
figure it out,
right? And to the point of like, how do we make our films look like this? How come we don't have these kind of shots? How come our shots don't look like this, right?
So what I'm looking at on your screen, these are screenshots of shows that they have.
These are all the projects.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
So they've come a long way.
A long way. I mean, if you look at some of their stuff that are like, you know, like from like the early 2000s and now, you'll see like the tragic changes. Mm-hmm. And something that I want to get back to was one of the co-founders, Wesley Chan, he talks about how sometimes he feels like a scam, because there's like these people that wanna, there's these young Asian American or even diverse people that want to come and intern for Wong Fu. And they're like, why do you want to come intern to us? When you're a film student, you should be going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, humbly saying, like, because we didn't learn, we didn't go to school, we only did this because we love this, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's times where I even think, like, I'm a scam, because I wasn't properly trained. I just kind of grew up and I just loved it and I just did it. Where if someone were to come with a camera crew or, I don't know, like a graphic design, like credential folk or person that comes in and say, hey, I need you to, I'm just gonna make up something, do an X, Y, and Z, like, portrait, I don't know, creation. I'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'll do it and they'll probably be like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, how do you not know what that is? Because I just loved it. That's what I did. You know what I mean? So there's times where I carry, you know, that thought of like, man, I'm just a scam. Like, why do these people trust what I do?
I was gonna say the imposter syndrome is something that's common, but it's not common among people who aren't doing the work. Mm-hmm. It's common among people, you'll find it often among therapists, among professionals, people who are like, because you really can't believe, like, wow, did I really get here? So I think it's less about, I think it's recognized that you deserve to be in those spaces, that you deserve to be there, because you may not have gotten the education that other people got, but your education came from, you know, from trial and error. It came from not direct knowledge. And I think that's what people want to glean from.
Yeah.
You can go and pick up a textbook and you can read whatever's in there. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to now go out and make a quality film. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that don't have that.
Yeah.
I think to learn that piece is from the heart. And you can't get that from just a school or a textbook. I think you have to then find a mentor, somebody who has a vision that you admire, or, you know. So I think we have to remind ourselves when we feel like that we absolutely, I mean, just look at the impact that's being made.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking even the impact that you have, we're all fans of you around here.
Oh my gosh,
no, truly, truly. Everybody talks about like how amazing your work is, and I often say that you're magic because I don't know how you do it, but you always make it work out.